Nat, let's assume now that you're representing the seller, and seller has requested assistance from you and your law firm in providing buyer with a little push toward a higher dollar figure in order to speed up the negotiating process. Eager to serve your client, you tell buyer's counsel that unless buyer increases its offer by 5%, seller plans to sell itself to another potential acquirer it is negotiating with. In fact, the seller hasn't received any other offers, and you know that. Is this type of bluff allowable?
The answer to that is no. Model Rule 4.1 prohibits a lawyer from knowingly making a false statement of material fact or law to a third person. Stating that the seller has an additional suitor would likely be a materially false statement. In addition, Rule 8.4 deems it professional misconduct if a lawyer engages in dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. This provision does not include any specific requirement of materiality. Bluffing about the existence of a competing acquirer arguably involves all four of these impermissible categories.
So stated as simply as possible, lawyers are not able to flat out lie during negotiations. And keep in mind, because we're all lawyers in contexts other than negotiating deals, well, today's program is focusing on what happens while you're negotiating a deal. The prohibition against this kind of misconduct is not in any sense limited to negotiating. So instead of alleging the existence of another interested party, Nat, what if instead you take a softer approach and you say something like, well, look, my client's going to walk away from the negotiations unless you increase your offer by 10%. And let's assume that when you say that, you know that your seller would happily agree to a 5% increase in the purchase price.
David, that probably is going to be okay. And for the answer to that, we turn to the commentary to Model Rule 4.1, which provides that under generally accepted conventions in negotiation, certain types of statements ordinarily are not taken as statements of material fact. Estimates of price or value placed on the subject of a transaction and a party's intentions as to an acceptable settlement amount typically fall into this category. So the statement that you mentioned, David, likely would not be considered a violation of an ethical duty because it seems to fall within the commentary regarding estimates of price or negotiating positions. But you have to realize there is a fine line between puffery and lying. Also keep in mind, underlying all of this, we always have to remember the lawyer's duty of confidentiality of the client's information under Rule 1.6.
Yeah, the difficulties of negotiating that fine line are shown, in fact, by whenever we use the term puffery, we normally say mere puffery, trying to convince ourselves that it's automatically okay if we can categorize it that way.
Right.
In some instances, the line will be clear. In other instances, it's going to be very difficult to find. Nat, what if we looked for a middle ground between merely inflating what seller is willing to accept and asserting there are other offers on the table, which is a false fact? So for instance, could you make a general statement that if the buyer doesn't raise their offer, that seller is going to be forced to swim with other fish in the sea?
So the way we have to analyze that is to consider generally whether the statement is likely to be relied on, and whether it would be reasonable for the other side to rely on it. However, we would need to remember that what is puffery as opposed to deceit may ultimately depend on the context as well as local rules of practice. David, lawyers must avoid making misrepresentations, but what is a lawyer's duty with respect to client statements? Suppose, for example, that buyer and seller are negotiating the litigation representation in the purchase agreement. Seller objects to buyer's proposed no threatened litigation representation. The buyer agrees that it will remove the language if Sellers' general counsel confirms that she is not aware of any litigation threatened against the seller. The seller's general counsel, in fact, confirms that. However, you know that the seller has been threatened with litigation because your law firm was consulted on the matter. Are you responsible for correcting the known misstatements of your client?
Well, Nat, as you know, this isn't a really good position for us to be put in. Although we didn't make the misrepresentation here ourselves, Rule 8.4C says that it is professional misconduct for a lawyer to engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. If we sit silently by while our client makes a statement that we know to be false, depending on the situation, it could be argued that we are engaging in such a fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. It's, again, facts are really important here because the question is figuring out whether our conduct consists of engagement, which isn't always really clear.
Right. So what's the answer to my question? Would you correct the misstatement?
Well, I was hoping I would sort of be able to get by it without answering. Again, let me make it even more complicated. The potential duty we might have to correct the client is in some tension with our duty to maintain client confidentiality. Rule 1.6A would appear to prevent our correction of the misstatement, as it prevents a lawyer from revealing information.